League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Melro 210, a quarantine sideshow where we ask you to remain indoors.
Yeah!
But put on your sunscreen, because we're back at fucking high school at fucking long... It feels like it's at long last, I have to say.
You know, if we could lift quarantine, but it stipulates that I have to go back to high school, I'm cool with it.
Dude, the world's oldest freshman.
Oh, man. So you're telling me the only way we can get out of quarantine is to fucking pull a high school version of Billy Madison?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I see. Okay.
I think I would do some things right this time around.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Maybe hit the books.
I agree with you, Steve. Maybe I'd hit the gym.
Eric, I like you in a contest against Bradley Whitford.
Definitely. We're both Erics, and we both have weird nuts.
I do want to wish everybody a happy Memorial Day. I hope you're enjoying your sad hot dogs, wherever you may be having them. I also do want to, you know, obviously wish any service members listening, because I know a whole ton of you do. Thank you for what you do. So happy Memorial Day to everybody. And these disembodied voices you're hearing are my good friends, Christopher Cabin.
Ahoy, hoy.
Eric Siska.
It me.
I'm not going to step on it, so I'll introduce myself first, which I should have done. I'm Steven Zadak, and here comes Andrew Jupin.
Yo!
There it is. That's for the service members. All right, anyways.
Yeah, I'm sure they really appreciate it.
Oh, you know, some guy is, like, in Iraq, tearing up, like, thank you. No, thank you for what you do.
Thank you for being a fat, drunk idiot on this podcast.
Not everybody knows what it's like to be now fat at 38. Not everybody knows.
We are talking about The Gentle Art of Listening, the ninth episode or 10th episode. Hulu lists it as the 10th, but it's really the 9th because the way they fuck up the pilot.
Right.
The 9th episode of Beverly Hills 90210, original air date December the 6th, 1990. I do, the beginning of this episode just filled me with, like, oh, thank God, we're back in high school. Like, I just feel like the last 2 weeks, especially last week with the Cindy nonsense, and the week before with the Jackie nonsense, it's been, like, a lot of parent stuff. And
now, yeah.
Like,
you don't say, Steve.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We got, and also James Eckhouse credit only, as we know.
Yeah, Cabin, did that do anything for your fucking blood pressure this week?
It was much better until I found out what Brenda was doing.
Yes. You know, I would take, I'll take Jim over the kids, over the entire premise of the show.
I don't know about that.
So what you're saying, Eric, is that you would appreciate another Aaron Spelling spinoff just called Jim.
Oh, dude, I'd be watching Jim.
But like, here's the thing about Jim, right? It's nothing has changed for the Walshes. Like, no one's divorced, no one's died or anything like that. It's just a show where you see what Jim Walsh is doing on all those business trips.
Absolutely. That'd be amazing. Him, like, getting a cocktail on a plane and, like, sending it back.
Yep.
Like, being a real piece of shit. You can see, like, those power walks he does in that suit. Whole thing.
For some reason, he always has the same pilot, and that's, like, his buddy at all these airports.
Or, you know, other spinoff idea, it's Jim, you know, it's after the events of everything, and now he's just a keyboardist in a nightclub. He's got that Casio with him.
After the events of everything?
No,
he leaves, what's her name, Cindy? Leaves Cindy?
I want to ask a question, because we're loving this Melrose 210 a little bit too much. We're already talking about how we might continue this after quarantine, yada, yada. We're not sure. Nothing's set in stone. But I don't think we're going to get, even no matter what we do, I don't think we'll ever get to the end of this thing. So do you guys want to know how they write Jim and Cindy off the show in like season 7 or something?
Absolutely.
Yes. Fiery car crash?
Jim accepts a job in China.
No.
What? And they go the wall. They're like, we just need these old people out of here. Get them to China.
Dude, China? It's so, wait a second.
I knew it.
It was just like, what is the location that we can guarantee we will never see these people again? Oh, I know. China.
Look, Cindy, I've been made fun of by everybody in America. Okay? We got to go to a new country and I'll get made fun of there.
What kind of job? What is this?
I'm sure, not for nothing, that there's perfectly qualified accountants in China. What do you need him for?
No, he's a keyboardist sensation.
Oh, dude, that's right. It's kind of like, you know, some jazz musicians are huge in Japan.
Right.
Jim Walsh, keyboardist, big in China.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to look this up now because I want to make sure I'm not getting this wrong.
No, that's fine. You know, so he could do like, okay, so he's got like a tour going on. He's playing... Yeah. Shanghai, Guilin, Beijing.
There's a big controversy because while he's over there, he is asked to play a show in Hong Kong.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got it wrong. They moved to Hong Kong, which is a little more
business-friendly. Oh, they do move to Hong Kong. Yeah, okay.
That's right. Okay. Even still, pretty far from Beverly Hills.
Absolutely.
No, that's too bad because I was about to presuppose a scenario where Jim Walsh urinates on the Great Wall of China.
You know what?
It's a hop, skip, and a jump, yeah. Eric. You can do that. That's true.
Maybe on a vacation he does that and he gets in a little hot water.
You know, it sounds bad, but honestly, if I had Brendan for a son, that's what I'd do too.
Yeah.
Get myself to Hong Kong and like, no, you don't got to visit Thanksgiving. Go with your girlfriend's family.
Oh, you know.
Brenda, too. Brenda is a piece of shit in this episode.
She's really shitty. So this episode, we start with a pep rally. Again, I felt really like happy to be back at this high school. Is this Outkast we're listening to?
It sounds like it.
It does.
But it's got to be fake music again, though. None of this is licensed.
Yes, of course. No. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, why would you take out whatever bullshit song and then put on an Outkast song?
Yeah, no, it's got to be someone just trying to sound like the two of them or something like that.
It's a cast out or something.
So I will actually read off. Wow. Whoa. All right. So there's the first soundtrack credits are Get Up Before the Night Is Over, which is a Tektronix song. There's something called Since I Met You Baby by Ivory Joe Hunter, Devil or Angel by The Clovers, and Chocolate by The Time. And now this is all whatever was on the original episode. You'll never know what's on Hulu. You'll never know.
Right, yeah. No, and of those groups, I've heard of The Time.
Well, yeah, I guess Prince was involved. He wrote this song called Chocolate.
Yeah.
It's his band.
Yeah, oh, The Time.
You know what? I didn't know that.
Oh, man. By the way, this pep rally thing, it's to celebrate what they're calling Grudge Night.
Grudge Week, my friend. It's a whole week of grudging.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but like, what? Like, is it? It's not like a Spirit Week thing. It's not leading to a homecoming, or is it?
Here's the Grudge Night, my new favorite holiday.
It is a Spirit thing. What happens is, for 1 week, J-horror is legal. The Grudge monsters come out.
That makes sense.
Yes, I think that's good.
No, it's our hated rivals at Beverly High. We have a week of events wherein we grudge them stuff, and we're watching the pep rally go. Brandon makes eyes with this cheerleader who becomes very important in the episode for a second, and then he makes eyes with this weird freshman that's like stalking him kind of in this episode,
and he is outraged.
He is.
I mean, he's so pissed off that this girl is looking at him.
You know
it
what?
Is
you know what?
Incredible.
Nope. You are fucking 100% wrong here, and I will tell you fucking why.
Okay.
Because he is like later talking to Cindy about this, and he's like, Mom, this 14-year-old girl has a crush on me, and I'm really uncomfortable about it. You know what, dude? Good for you. Not taking any notes from fucking Jake over at Melrose Place.
That's a fair point.
Well, ignore it. Just ignore it.
Yes,
it's just
true.
A little girl looking at you once in a while. What the fuck is wrong with you?
What's Brandon's age supposed to be? 15? 16?
Yeah. No, he's at least 17 years old.
I don't know about 17.
No.
Well, because also there is something coming up wherein this season, I think they're juniors, and then they're juniors again. Maybe they're sophomores. And they're they kind of repeat twice to just sort of keep everybody in high school for a little longer because the show's more successful.
Jim, they shit the bed with the grades. They gotta repeat.
All right, kids, one more shitty school year like this, and I swear I'm shipping you to Hong Kong.
Brendan, a D minus in English? Aren't you supposed to be a journalist? What the fuck am I spending money for?
We gotta talk about Brandon's hat in this
Thank you. Because before he locks eyes with that cheerleader and before he locks eyes with that 14-year-old girl, somewhere along the way, he locked eyes with one of the worst hats I have ever seen in my life.
It's a statement piece. It's
a proto Kangle.
Yeah, it is. It's a very proto Kangle, but it's got like a thick band thing going on.
It sort of looked like, and I know it's not, but just the second I saw it, it reminded me of the hat that Jack Nicholson wears to the art museum in Batman.
You're right.
Lawrence Music
for this Grudge Week.
Speaking of Prince.
That's probably right.
I think we'll just go through this whole episode all the way through without doing A plot, B plot, because they're all kind of together a little bit.
I will say, just real quickly, the 14-year-old girl, the character's name is Lucy. The actress is Heather Hopper, who was Nikki on Good Morning, Miss Bliss, the proto Saved by the Bell. And she was not one of the characters brought on to Saved by the Bell.
She kind of has an accursed career a little bit, sadly. Like, she was in True Beverly Hills. Congratulations.
Oh, also with Donna. Donna's in that movie.
Yada, yada, yada. But then, like, you know, when you
say thank the troops, you're kind of thanking Donna a little bit.
A lot of Donna in this episode. But I do want to say, her career kind of shits the bed, and she winds up, like, going away for 10 years. She winds up being in an Elvira movie, which is fine.
Oh, yeah, that's where I know her.
Mistress of the Dark movie.
Yeah.
No, Cabin, I don't think she's in Mistress of the Dark. It's some other thing from, like, 2001.
Oh Jesus.
Whoa. Yeah, it's Elvira. Hold on, I'll pull it up right now. I'm looking at it. It's Elvira.
Elvira Keeping the Lights On.
Elvira's Haunted Hills from 2001.
What the fuck is that?
It's Keeping the Lights On, dude.
You know what? Just put us in an Elvira movie at this point.
And Chris Cabin as Elvira.
Yeah. And I'm going to skip the one I want to talk about. She's in something called a TV show called Mismatch as Coffee House Cashier.
Ooh.
She was in an episode of Passions as Surrogate Candidate Number One. And And the thing that I would just take umbrage with as an actress and just talk to the showrunner, she's in The Shield in an episode called Cherry Poppers as Two-Bit Whore. I'd be like, hey, dude, this is my resume. Would you mind? Can we just call me Prostitute Number Two?
Can you
bump
me up to One-Bit Whore?
So
two-bit whore, so she's like bad at being a whore? Or is like a fake whore?
That sounds like a line of dialogue that was thrown at her.
Yes. Yeah, the two-bit means cheap.
Okay, okay.
Like, it's from the English.
Two bits.
Oh, so yes. One bit would be even cheaper, I guess.
Can I be a four-bit whore?
How about a pound?
Once you become an 8-bit whore, you could fuck Mario.
And then she retired from acting, which makes a good deal of sense. So
it doesn't help that she looks like the girl from Sleepaway Camp, by the way.
She does, and
she
also
kind of does, yeah.
The cheerleader played by Lisa Dean Ryan as Bonnie was Doogie Howser's love interest for the whole
absolutely
run of that show.
And I want to say, I might be getting this wrong, but I think she is the girl that Doogie's parents go out of town. I'll never forget this episode because it was one of those like little kid things, right? This episode where his parents go out of town or something like that, and he invites her over, and they're like making out in the Hauser's hot tub, and caught in the act.
Oh yeah, I mean, it must be because she was his girlfriend, so that's how that worked.
Look, if the guy's saving lives, let him get a little.
Exactly.
I mean, he is a doctor, dude.
Please. He's pulling 60 hours a week at the ER.
He just wanted to get caught. It's part of a fetish.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're walking around. Steve Sanders and Dylan, welcome back to the fucking show, Barry.
I know.
Yes, way of course. Too little.
It's two scenes. I'm not fan of it.
Cabin, unless there's an episode of this show where every single line of dialogue is uttered by Luke Perry, it's too little Dylan.
Oh, man, I would like a monologue episode.
Yes, of course.
There is an episode, I believe, later on wherein Dylan is talking to his younger self, which is Luke Perry in a baseball hat, and you'll enjoy that episode.
Oh, no!
You'll enjoy that episode. So
one more Spirit Day thing here we got to talk about, because it's one of two times in this episode he fucking grossly humiliates himself in public. David Silver, yes, like, has gotten the gig as the new radio DJ for West Beverly. And so as such, I guess, along with that is, like, now you're the MC for certain school events, including this thing. And he's, like, broadcasting a prank call with Scott. And then, like, Scott tries to fucking take the wheel and totally botches it and is just humiliated.
Yeah, he, like, picks up the phone when it was on speaker or something, like, makes this crazy feedback and the entire school's like, my ears!
Oh, I hope that kid shoots himself in the face someday!
I'm surprised Steve Sanders doesn't say that.
But Steve explains what Grudge Week is. It's a week of events that happen at school against hated Beverly High. And he's like, yeah, man, and it's a week of fucking. It is a week of debauchery. It's a week wherein younger girls go up to the older guys, and Dylan shows up, and it's kind of weird where Brandon's like, dude, I didn't think you'd be into this thing. He's like, I don't know. What can I say, Brandon? I'm into the younger ladies. It's like, ew.
Yeah, kind of weird.
And then Brenda and Kelly, Kelly's like, let's get, fuck this. Kelly and Donna are like, fuck, this is nonsense. Let's go shopping, which makes Brenda very upset, I guess.
It's very interesting to me, and I guess I never thought about it, but it's interesting how they have characters like Kelly and Donna who you would assume would be all for, like, I'm going to be on the cheerleading squad, ooh, football players, this, that, and the other thing. And I actually found it kind of refreshing that they were like, hey, this is fucking dumb. Let's go to the mall.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because, like, she mentions, like, oh, I maybe wanted to have joined the cheerleading group. And it's, I guess this group, like Kelly Garth, is that right? No, Kelly Taylor, Jenny, yep, Garth plays her, right?
Yes.
Yep.
That whole friend group, they're not popular. They're like quasi popular. They're not like the upper echelon, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
that's the
that odd thing. Yeah, of like, they're so like hyper rich and out of it that they're like, yeah, just not involved with your, what would be like the traditional caste system in a high school,
right?
Where it's like the jocks and cheerleaders were on their whole thing.
Wealth can buy you out of anything.
It's just, it's fascinating that they don't have those characters be interested in that at all.
So Brandon comes home. Cindy is like making, I mean, roasting a whole turkey for I don't even know who. Like, I've never understood.
It's grudge giving.
Grudge giving. Oh my god, that was, I think, the original title for Festivus, by the way. It was Grudge Giving.
Yeah, we cook a pigeon on the quad. It's we all eat it at the same time.
You'll never survive Grudge Giving.
So, like, yeah, she's and, you know, Brandon explains his problem. It's amazing. Brenda just comes in, and it's not even like she's slamming the door in tears. She's just sort of like, hey, Brenda. She's like, hi, like, kind of huffy, and storms off to her room. And then, like, Sydney's like, god, I hate that bitch. It's like, it's like everything has to stop for everyone to fucking hate. Like, can Brenda just be in a sort of bad mood a little bit?
I know, and it's so fucked up, because, like, Cindy also, she's like, you know, I swear to god, that girl waits for your father to go out of town on business and then acts like an absolute wretched bitch to me.
And Brandon's like, don't worry, mom, I got it. I'll fucking jump on the grenade that is Brenda.
I'm on it, Cindy.
She just starts smoking. Every fucking time, your fucking father. He's a goddamn house. She starts.
It would be awesome if they pulled that gag from The Simpsons and, like, she takes a sip of wine and it's like, dun, dun, dun.
So, you know, Brandon comes up, and this is the whole scene where she's like, you know, I like Kelly and Donna. They're sort of my best friends. You know, Kelly and who's that other girl? Oh, yeah, I guess it's Donna. You gotta say Donna.
D O double N A Donna.
We're phasing out Scott and bringing in Donna.
Doug Emerson's like, what?
Dude, it just, you cut to next week's episode. It's Tori Spelling in a Lakers cap hanging out with David in the DJ booth.
You know, Donna, you've always been my best friend. That's right, Scott, or whatever, whatever. You know. But she's like, you know, I love them. They're sort of my best friends, but you know, they're just a little shallow. And Brandon's like, well, you know, you could just join up with Andrea. She does this teen rap line where, you know, for troubled teens, it'll give you some purpose. And it's always the same thing. It's like Andrea Zuckerman. I'm like, what's the problem there?
I don't, and like just the way, like the distaste in the way they spit out this woman's Jewish name. It's insane, dude. Like, oh, Andrea Zuckerman. You're just like, man.
It would make so much more sense if there was another Andrea that was popular or something.
Yes. Yeah, if they knew another one, so they had to fucking clarify, but she's the only Andrea.
So she reluctantly agrees. The next day, she goes up to Andrea. Andrea, not exactly in my top 10 this week.
Nope. You can fucking flush this girl this week, man. The condescending nature here.
There's no winners in this episode. Everyone is awful.
Nobody comes out clean. You're right.
Dylan.
Yeah.
Dylan is trying to dip into those freshman ladies. That's true. You know, so it's...
I think it's a thing where Dylan's telling these fucking dudes what they want to hear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a people pleaser.
You don't see him doing anything. I mean, he's out of the episode after like one more, you know, scene with him.
And like, when you're next to the fucking moral void that is Steve Sanders, I'll take Dylan any day.
Yeah, very true.
Steve Sanders is a moral void, but we're squeaking him up a little bit. He's just sort of casual. He's not antagonistic to Brandon this week. He's hanging out with Dylan a little bit. He's being nice to Scott and David. I think someone in the writers room was like, Steve, a little too evil? Yeah, let's tone that down a bit.
Yeah, guys, I called this meeting today because I have to tell you, the way we have been positioning this Steve Sanders character, not a fan favorite.
Guys, I got to tell you, we cannot have Steve be the rapist in this episode. I'm sorry. I know that's how we originally wrote it, but we have to get it out of here.
You know who could be? Maybe Donna.
Oh, God.
I don't know. It's an interesting turn. Brenda's like, hey, Brandon said that you run this teen line or you're part of this teen line. Would you mind letting me know about it? And she's like, I don't know, Brenda. It takes a lot of dedication to be part of the teen line.
It's so insane. Like someone says, I want to help out at this crisis line. And they're like, oh, do you? That's adorable. And also, especially because fuck you, Andrea. I see right through that shit, dude. You are doing this because, oh, it'll look good on a college application.
Yeah, totally.
There is no genuine shit about this person. It is all, I am doing all of these extracurriculars so it looks good so I can get into Harvard. She doesn't care about the people on this suicide line.
She doesn't at all. She only cares about the rules.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. A real rule meister. So we cut to the crisis center. Andrea is there. Brenda is not allowed to answer the phone in her first 3 months. You know, it's like a trainee period, which makes a ton of sense. Even though
I
don't know, even 3 months sounds a little short.
Three months is a lot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe like just see how it goes a couple of times. I mean, because they even have like, you see the woman who's the like adult moderator of it, and she's got like a stack of flashcards, you know, so like you can be guided through a conversation. I'm sure there's like a packet, like a script that they have. I was like, 3 months.
It's a coat. You got a coat, like, it's in like boiler room. You yell Recco when somebody wants to commit suicide. And then there's a big red light. She has to take over the phone kind of a thing.
Sure.
How many times a week am I coming in for this training?
Yeah, that's
what the fuck is going on here?
Well, that's the weird thing too. It doesn't seem like it's once a week. She's coming in every night.
It's like 3 nights in a row.
Yeah.
Until 10 p.m.
Jesus.
And also after, because Brenda wants to hang out and talk to this a girl who has problems.
So she winds up. We do see some really. We were watching the teen line in action.
Oh yeah, we are, dude. My biggest, heartiest laugh of the episode.
Anybody
see
this girl? And I want this shirt. This fucking awesome Soviet shirt she had rocking.
Yes, I saw that. That was crazy.
There are some crazy shirts in this episode, I have to say. We'll get to them as they come along. But that was what I was like, ooh, Hammer and Sickle shirt. Nice.
And like, this, you hear like one guy be like, oh, you should tell her how you feel and blah, blah, blah. And this, that, the other thing. And then they cut to Andre, and Andre is like, listen, about 50% of our calls are guys who have been caught masturbating by their sister or mother.
Oh my God, dude. I lost my mind laughing. Because, like, I mean, I don't know. Yes, that's horribly embarrassing, but, like, worthy for a call to the helpline?
Maybe get a separate line.
Yeah.
Maybe one line is dedicated to guys who get, like, caught masturbating by their sisters or mothers.
My
or
question
grandmothers.
Is, like, are they masturbating while they call?
Yeah, well, a little bit.
Again, I mean, whole separate line. That's even for that.
Five calls a night, by the way. It's crazy.
Hey, I got caught masturbating to a woman that sounds an awful lot like you.
Tell me I've been bad.
Welcome to the Caught in the Act hotline. Kind of take, what are you doing? You got it in your hand or what?
Got it in your hand.
They're inventing JOI, dude. No, Brenda, you're not following the rules. You got to start by saying, are your pants off?
Look, before we move you over to the suicide rape line, you have to do the jerking off line for a little bit. It's a softball. You just go through it. It's an easy script.
Look, Brenda, all you have to do is stay on the phone and do your best to not laugh at them, okay?
Yeah. And by the way, Chris, it's two softballs, a call.
And also, by the way, unless they want you to laugh at them, then you'll figure that out. Yeah, it's so small. So
he said I helped him shoot. Did I do good?
So that's kind of, you know, a rousing round of teen line stuff. Everyone's like, ah, see. And this moderator is like, all right, great job tonight. Everybody, it's 10 o'clock. Time to close up. I'm sorry. Kelly calls in the middle of this and she's like,
oh, man.
Oh, my God. Donna! The word is Donna! Because she's like, oh my God, Donna wants to get a nose job, and her mom is freaking out, Brenda. And Andrea's like, of course she's taking personal calls! I cannot believe it! And she's like, oh no, Kelly's my ride, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm just trying to figure that out. And Kelly's like, I'll pick you up at 10.
There's a weird thing, though, where, like, this... Like, Andrea and the woman who's helping supervise the crisis line are both staring at her.
Yes.
Because she's gotten this phone call. They watch the entire phone call, and Brenda's excuse is like, oh, it was my ride. They needed the address. And I'm like, but you didn't say an address.
Yeah.
That is a bad lie.
My wife pointed that out, too, and was screaming about it.
So whatever. They closed down the teen line for the night. Andrea, and I mean, this is where I give Andrea a little leeway. She takes this shuttle bus. You know, it's like 10 o'clock at night. She's taking the shuttle bus to another public bus. She's getting home at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning every night.
Probably, but she's also right here trying to sniff out to see if she could get a ride from Brenda, because she's like, so is Brandon picking you
right,
up?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, can I fucking abuse this dude and get a ride out of him?
But she's, no, but she's all, you know, it's, we all know what's going on there. She's like,
sure.
Tell Brandon I said hi. Hey, Brenda, nice to see you. Did you tell Brandon I said hi last night? She calls at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Brenda, it's Andrea. Great job on the teen line. I can't. Did you happen to tell Brandon I said hi? And what did he say back?
Look, Brenda, we can forget what you did wrong here. This is fine. I just need a pair of your brother's tidy whities. Used preferred.
Yeah. Oh. Skidmark edition.
Oh, come on.
Just in an envelope. Just make it cautious and then nothing happened. All under the rug.
But Kelly does not show up on time, and Brenda goes back into the teen office to call Kelly to see what's going on. She does. Uh-oh. And this is when a stranger calls back, because she gets a call from this woman. We'll find out his name, Bonnie, who is, we'll find out is the cheerleader. And it's a real whodunit of, like, you know, she's very upset, distraught. She's talking about, like, you know, what happens if you tell a guy to stop and he doesn't?
Right. And following it up with, how do you know if you've been raped? And I have to say, here's the thing, like, you're dealing with this. It's, you know, interesting to see a show like this tackling a subject like this in, I guess, the way that it does. But, man, you know, you got to dial it back on the soap opera music cues right here. Like, because when the girl on the phone is like, how do you know if you've been raped? Like the swell of this orchestral. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
The thing is, it's not a soap opera set. It's like X-Files music.
Yes, it is.
It's like you found the human, like, fucking monster in the toilet and like.
It is. It's eerie, creepy music. It's you're expecting like the fucking Scream guy to call a little bit.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, it would be great if that guy called in. I can't get anyone to play a game with me.
I think the cigarette-smoking man was on that shuttle bus.
Hey, Andrea. How's it going?
Would you like one of my Morley cigarettes?
Eugene Toombs as well.
Oh, yeah, sure. All the fucking X-Files highlights are on there, dude.
Dude, a fucking shuttle bus. You know what, dude? Quarantine or no, no shuttle buses for this gentleman.
Absolutely not. No.
So, you know, Brenda's very distraught. And Brenda's doing a terrible job, too. She's like, so, what high school you go to? What's your name? What's your last name? And she's like, well, I'm not going to tell you. This is can I be anonymous? She's like, of course you can. Blah, blah, blah. So she's very distraught. The next day, she goes to Andrea for help. She's like, fuck, this is a situation. Like, I need an adult here. Andrea's been doing it a long time. And she's like, so, Andrea, so about last night, she's like, don't worry, Brenda. If you want to quit because you're a dumb fucking airhead, I'm not going to judge you, you fucking idiot baby.
Yep. Could not believe it, dude. Could not believe the condescension. Like, huh, what a surprise. You're quitting after the first day. No big deal, though. Ugh. Andrea. I do want to say, though, Steve, I don't want to miss something I thought was quite fantastic. At that first scene of the phone call, after the girl hangs up or whatever, Kelly comes in and Brenda's very distraught, and they're sitting there talking in the counseling center for a second. Did everyone catch the leather tassel jacket that Kelly is wearing?
It's an Ultimate Warrior special for sure.
Oh my god, dude! It looks like did anybody see the movie Deerskin that just came out with Jean Dujardin?
No.
Holy! It is the jacket from that movie. Like no, it was freaking me out. Also, didn't seem like a thing that Kelly Taylor would be wearing, the whole like urban cowboy thing.
It's in this week. We also got to the peach pit, by the way. Speaking of last night,
yep.
And you know. Brandon, and again, I'm just happy to be back in the peach pit. You know what I mean? Again, we're not in some fucking adult lounge.
No, like the second I saw that sign, dude, it was like a warm bath. Like, the peach pit.
Just get to see Brendan working and like cleaning up some dishes. And then from the back, you hear Nat go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, the reaction of these customers sitting at the diner like counter. It's like, oh, what a quiet night at the peach pit. Here's your pie, sir. Oh, are you done with that coffee, ma'am? Oh, how's your side salad? Oh!
Hey, Nat, are you calling the hotline again? I can ring him up for you.
They use the Beulah base as a toilet.
Yes, before you ask, yes, Nat is getting pegged in the back there. Just letting you know.
Just another Tuesday night at the Peach Pit.
He does come back. He goes, Brandon goes to see what's the matter. And it looks like Nat's getting pegged, by the way.
Yes, it does, dude. Yeah.
And it's this like attractive woman named Nina is giving him a massage. And he's like, oh, Brandon. This is the best I've felt in years, not since my R&R in Bangkok. And I'm like,
what?
Dude, hey, buddy.
Dude, it's some line. And I was like, what the fuck did he just say?
I had to go to Bangkok after I kept on crashing Grudge Week trying to pretend I'm a fucking senior. It didn't go too well.
No, yeah, Bangkok. That's where I learned about pegging. You got to open your mind sexually, Brandon. You have to try everything. All the fruits of life.
Oh, that's great, Mr. Nat.
Mr. Nat.
So Mr. Nat is like, oh, you know, yeah, oh, Brandon, this is just so great. This woman, Nina, is like, yeah, I'm doing acupressure. It's like a cousin of acupuncture, but it's all sensual with pushing with your fingers and not needles. And Brandon's like,
Fuck, I would be too, man. Oh, the description of this thing, Jesus Christ.
It's very sexy, and he's just like, yeah. Nat's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing it at work, and it's fucking great. I'm like,
Brendan, get out of here. Brendan, get out of here.
Brendan, make yourself useful. Get me a new pair of pants and boxes.
And boxes.
You know the kind that I like.
Look, it's a lot of fluid, okay? Just get me the pants and boxes.
He's wringing it out into a dish.
Oh, come on.
Jesus Christ. Jesus fucking Christ.
So it's Dedek, okay, Mr. I'll serve it to Mr. Danzel, Mr. Dan.
Oh, that poor lonely fuck.
I got a feeling Mr. Danzel fucking waltzed off this mortal coil already, dude.
Yeah, he's probably never coming back, right?
No, that midterm he gave was the last test he ever administered to a student class.
Buried in a cheap suit.
Yeah, that was his last will and testament.
Nice.
I know, I meant to do a bad one.
No, you know what, though, dude? I'll take that as opposed to Nat wringing out his cum in the dishwasher.
Hey, I never said that dirty word. I'm done saying that word.
Of course it is.
All right, someone on the internet yelled at you.
That's right.
So Nina comes out to the front area, and she's like, oh, hey, Brandon, you know, if you're – oh, no, she just said, Brandon, you're next, kind of a thing.
Yes.
So we cut to the next day, and Brandon is – I love how, like, it's just – it's the perfect situation. It's Brenda dealing with a real crisis. So a girl is getting raped, and Brandon's like, dude, I got fucking fingered at the Peach Pit last night, bruh. And Steve Sanders is just like, oh, wow, that sounds really sexy. So did you score or what? And he's like, no, she's like old. She's like 23 or something. He's like, Brandon, you blew it. This lady wants to fuck you.
Dude, it's ridiculous. The line that he has here that really entices Steve Sanders, he's like, and then she started rubbing the balls. Ellipses, ellipses, ellipses of my feet.
Yeah. And then and Steve does it too. He's like, you mean the balls? Of your feet? It's great because she's supposed to be this older woman. We find out later that she worked at the Peach Pit. She's graduated high school. She's done all this stuff. And, like, it's really obvious. And this is the problem, too. Like, when you have everyone's supposed to be different ages, quote-unquote. And, like, Andrea looks so much older than this woman. And I looked at the ages. She's, like, at least 9 years older than this actress.
Oh, come on.
And it's like, dude, you know, that's the problem when you hire fucking 40-year-olds to play 20-year-olds. When you have to hire somebody to play a 23-year-old, they should obviously be 50.
Yeah, and like, it's fascinating, this whole thing, because, like, you can only skew that shit so much because otherwise the Nat's just a college student.
Look, we gotta bite the bullet here. We gotta get Estelle Getty to play Nina.
Oh, shit, I'd love that, actually.
It's the only thing that makes sense because, and the other thing, too, is, like, and it is weird for a 23-year-old to hook up with a 16 or 17-year-old. And if you saw them in the street, you'd be like, wow, that is a huge age difference. But it's not here because they look the same age because they probably are.
Yes, absolutely. Also, real quick thing, it's like, there's only, like, an A plot and a B plot in this episode, but then there's also way down, there's, like, a G plot. And that is Cindy Walsh volunteering at the recycling center?
Yes, dude, you know what?
Thank you for hitting the G plot.
I knew that would open it up for someone to say
good,
that.
Good.
Not shocked that it was you.
It's like Cindy now needs something to do because Jim is presumed dead wherever on whatever business trip he's on. And Brenda's now like doing stuff, and Brandon's out there working and trying to get laid.
It's just funny because she's like, oh, Brenda, you inspired me. Your father and I are so happy that you're working at this crisis center. What a great thing to do. I'm taking a note out of your playbook, and I'm volunteering at the recycling center. And I was like, I don't know, man. In my town, the recycling center was just the fucking dump.
Yeah.
And the garbage man took the recycling to the dump along with the garbage. So I don't know what this lady's doing at this recycling center.
Is she actually just recycling?
Yeah,
it was a new thing at the time.
Like a fad.
What's also a fad, yeah. What's funny, too, is Brenda's like, oh, maybe I can. And she's like, no, position's filled.
You're right. Taken.
Because, Brenda's looking to get out of the teen line, obviously, because she's really distressed by what she heard. She's like, oh, maybe I can do it. No, Brenda. No. I already asked Brenda. They said no more people.
Yeah, you know, she's probably not even volunteering at anything. She's just going out with that guy Wayne or whatever his name was.
Glenn. She's just
Big Dick Glenn, of course.
Yeah, we're just a week removed, essentially, right?
So, yeah. Glenn has got all this old newspaper at his house and used condoms and like half-drunk bottles of wine. It's just been a wild week for Cindy. Because actually, you're right. Later on,
Wait. Why does he need a bunch of old newspapers? Is he pissing on the floor?
No, because she's bringing them under the auspice that she's recycling.
Oh, recycling the newspapers. Oh, I see.
They put them up over the windows because their sexual exploits get really fucking wild. And dark.
I thought Glenn was just like, man, I got to put newspaper down. I cannot stop pissing on my own floor like a dog.
He's not housebroken.
Later, Brandon gives her like some. He's expected to fuck Nina overnight, and he makes up all this bullshit excuse. And Sydney's like, "Yeah, whatever, sure, fine. Just don't worry what I'm doing at night. So you go do whatever you want."
Boy, my teenage son spends an awful lot of time at the library in the middle of the night.
I'm just gonna go and take these 80 Diet Pepsi bottles off to get fucked. I mean, to the center. The center, I said. I'm going to the center.
I'm not having an affair. You're having an affair. That's kind of it. We go back to the recycling set. The hotline where Brenda gets sort of outed here. Bonnie calls at like 9:55, and Andrea's like, "Oh, it's, you know, we're really close to closing up here, but I guess I can do one more." And I'm like, "You fucking jerk."
And here's the thing. It's kind of weird because it's like, you know, I understand not everything can be, you know, 24 hours service, that kind of thing. But it's just odd that they are so strict to like, listen, motherfucker, this hotline for your help is open from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Look at your fucking watch, you stupid asshole. 10:04, does it say? Fuck you. Call back tomorrow.
Look, who needs counseling after 10 p.m.? What kind of sicko are you?
You fucking loser. Call back in the morning.
And my wife pointed out, why don't you just shut down the line?
Exactly. Yep.
What the Turn fuck? On, let it go to the answering machine. Yes. It's like, you have called the such and such helpline, blibbity blob,
like,
you know.
You are cared about, like, do not, you know what, you just have a generic thing at night.
I mean, yeah, like, if this is an emergency, call 911, what are those
Absolutely.
Things?
Yes. I mean, you never know when those calls are going to come in. That's why most of those kinds of hotlines are 24 hours now. But
For sure.
Before that, and I get it, but just make sure something's there.
But it's actually this girl, Bonnie, again, and she's like, can I speak to Brenda? And Andre's like, miss, somebody broke the rules,
Fucking tattletale narc overachiever.
And, you know, Brenda gets outed that she did this thing last night, but, like, what's-her-face is like, the teacher is like, look, or the supervisor is like, look, she only wants to talk to you, I'll be here the whole time kind of a thing. So she talks to her. And she's like, it happened again, it got worse, and yada, yada, yada. And it's more of that fucking X-Files music that pipes up. Exactly.
You hear about this one, Scully? Jocks from Outer Space.
I think I saw that movie one time, dude.
So, you know, that all happens. And the teacher, this is what pisses Andre off the most, is that the supervisor's like, you know what, Brenda? You did a great job. And Andre's like, oh, gosh, this is my thing.
She waltzes in here with her perfect bangs and her fucking sexalicious brother, thinking she could take over my racket in the call center.
So whatever, you know, Brenda and Andrea, you know, they don't really mend here.
This is when they have the conversation in the hallway where Andrea starts things off by like mildly gaslighting her.
Oh, totally.
Because she's like, you know, Andrea, you haven't given me a chance with the helpline. It wasn't my fault this whole thing happened. She's like, Brenda, why would I want to put you down? Yes. Oh, and then Brenda fucking volleys back and is like, Andrea, how can you get away with being the editor of the school paper when you have such contempt for the student body? And I was like, great point.
I mean, she picks up on the Zuckerman thing, I think. I think she knows what's going on.
Yeah, maybe that's true. In this the tail end of this conversation is cut off by like a bunch of you know, Grudge Week celebratory whatever, like comes through the hallway. Everybody's hooting and hollering, this, that, and the other thing. And this is, dude, the second of two times in this episode, Scott totally humiliated in public. He goes up to this girl, Lucy, who's been smiling at Brandon earlier in the episode, and is like, hi, Lucy. And the girl totally fucking runs away, and he just goes, oh, man, I hate being a freshman.
Actually, Brandon considers it being assaulted with eyes.
I could get you arrested. Hey,
you're a creep, you know that? A fucking creep for just looking at me? Why don't you look somewhere else?
Get your dirty brown eyes away from me, okay? So, it is kind of great that Scott gets humiliated. And that's kind of moving on. We go back to the helpline. Brenda keeps expecting Buddy to call. She doesn't, and she forces Andre to go back afterwards. She's like, she calls after 10. We have to be there after 10. Sure enough, she does call, and this time this dude brought a friend, and, like, Brenda really is, and she's like, and I do understand, like, the need to be like, try and push this woman to get help. But she's like, so what high school you go to? Oh, Grudge Week, huh? Sounds like West Beverly High. What's your name? What hair color is you?
What's your social security number?
Like, this is not a safe space here. I know that's a what do you call it? A derived term, but it is. You do need that to be able to get some help.
I mean, it's supposed to be anonymous. You're supposed to call up and try to get some... And Brenda spends the rest of this episode trying to out this woman.
Yeah, this is where I... You know, at the start of this episode, I was very much pro-Brenda, anti-Andrea. I wound up being still very anti-Andrea in this episode, but very anti-Brenda right here, especially because she just eventually screams into the phone, I want to know who you are! And I'm like, dude, antithesis of a helpline.
Because again, like, you would, like, if you're the point of this episode, sort of, is, oh, it's cool. There's these hotlines if you're having a problem. You know, that's this very special episode part of it. But, like, if everyone on the fucking other end is Columbo, I'm not going to call.
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me, ma'am. What's your name before you commit suicide?
Oh, yeah, you're gay, huh? What's your name, Tom? You're in my biology class. I'm going to tell everybody. Talk to you later.
Oh, what's that? You got caught jacking off. Okay. I can help you with that. Okay. First of all, take down your trousers.
One more question, please. Are you a pig?
Are you a little piggy that wants to be stepped on?
Take out your one-eyed monster, okay? This is what they refer to me on set.
Excuse me, I gotta put you on hold 1 second. I gotta go out to the smoke shop and get another cigar.
I mean, you're just filthy. You're just a filthy little maggot. You should buy me stuff. Buy me a cigar. I'm gonna send you my Amazon wish list.
Dude, getting pit dumped by Columbo.
Yeah, you know, I could use some of that lingerie.
It's Columbo's Amazon wish list. It's all cigars and a trench coat.
Here's my cash ME.
So I wish I could do that. Call Columbo for phone sex, but he passed sadly.
Sweet, before we could get him hired on the sex line.
That's kind of going on. Brandon, by the way, goes up to Nat and he's like, "So what's Nina's deal?" And Nat says the even more elliptical and creepy than the Bangkok line. He goes, "All I can tell you, Brandon, is when she worked here, she was a wild child."
Dude, it's so insane. And, like, the start of that response really is the icing on the cake to the whole thing. Because Brandon's like, "So what's the deal with Nina?" And he just goes, "Nina, sweet Nina." Like, he's holding those A's for a really long time.
I mean, Brandon, you were here for the last time. I mean, back in the day, I had to wring out my pants and my shirt.
They were like, I guess they were fucking.
I guess it's because we all just watched Don's Plum yesterday. But
coming soon to a side order of sleaze, by the way.
It's also just the knowledge that I'm never going to have to watch that movie again. I'm elated.
a little spring in my step. But he's like, oh, you know, she's a wild child, blah, blah, blah. She toured Asia. And then Nina comes back and she's like, she's flirting with Brandon. She's like, you know, oh, I went to the sensory deprivation tank, Brandon. Ooh, I took LSD and I came out a caveman. It was really something, Brandon.
I was hanging out with my good friend Bob Balaban.
Altered States, great movie. But no, she's like, hey, you know, I have this new technique I really want to try on somebody. It's like a holistic rap or something.
Herbal rap. Dude, she's like telling him the process for like what goes into this. And Jason Priestley is like melting on the other side of this counter. And like hanging on this every word this woman has. She's like, first we fucking put all these essential oils on you. Then we wrap you in plastic and let it set for a while. Then we take that all off and we give you a shower while we rub in all these other soaps and nutrients. And this dude is like a cartoon wolf right now.
No, 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 now slower, slower. Not yet, not yet. Okay, now.
Hey, is that Nina? Nina, that's back here.
Nina!
One of my favorite moments of this episode is when Brandon is getting ready for this like big date, and he's just pouring on James Eckhouse's fucking cologne.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. I've always wanted to smell like my father.
Heavy-duty AJ Soprano vibes going on.
Yeah, definitely. Like, why would you want to smell like Jim? Especially, this girl presumably likes you. Like, you don't want to add cologne to the situation. She likes the way you smell, dude. Relax.
Yeah, totally.
There is a scene between that. It's just because it's my favorite Luke Perry part of this whole episode, which is... Brandon's asking Dylan, like, you ever been with an older woman? He's like, I never kiss and tell. Like, first you definitely do. Cut the shit. And he's like, you know, like, just how do I approach it? Blah blah blah. And then like, and we're trying to keep this. We keep both Bonnie and Lucy, the actresses, in the peripheries of the episode for a red herring situation.
Yep.
So Bonnie bumps into Dylan, and the line is totally innocuous. It's just to keep her in our mind that she's going to be the woman at the end of the episode. But like Luke Perry has to say, no harm, no foul. Oh, no harm, no foul. Or, hey, no harm, no foul. But he goes, no harm, no foul. I'm like, what?
Yep.
What in the world? How do you do that?
You know what? We'll never know. We did not deserve that, man. We definitely didn't. We had an angel on earth, Steve. And we let it slip through our fingers. In that scene, I just want to say, because that scene goes into the scene where Cindy's like, oh, I'm working at the recycling center kind of a thing. And in those two sequences, Brandon's in both of them, I think, in one way or no, it's not the recycling center. It's Cindy cooking that dinner. And Brandon's like, oh, I'm going to be at the library. So those two scenes connect. And in both of those scenes, Jason Priestley is wearing this T-shirt. Did you get a look at this thing? The back of this T-shirt has this huge fucking lemur face on it.
No, I missed it.
Oh, my God, dude. Second of three incredible shirts in this episode.
I do love. Yeah, because he's like, hey, Mom, tomorrow morning at 5:00, I'm going to do surfing with Dylan. So you probably won't even see me in the morning. Oh, by the way, tonight I'm going to stay super late at the library. So you won't see me at night. You got to space this out, Brandon. You gotta figure this shit out a little bit.
Also, there's a poltergeist in my room, so do not open the door at night. I've captured him in there. And I think he's good. I put a little salt circle, and I did the devil image in it, but, like, just don't do it, okay?
Brandon, it's a Glenn week. I don't care if you're alive or dead.
What's Glenn week?
Dude, it's a Glenn week.
Hey, Ma, you getting some nooners?
Nooners.
That's right.
So this sort of culminates with Brandon goes to Nina's place, and he's wearing this fucking jacket and the whole thing, and he's just like, so hey Nina, how's it going? She's like, oh cool, oh Richard's here. He's like, what? And this awesome dude, great casting on this guy. Like, yes. He's in his mid-50s, he's balding.
Looks like Dan Castanella.
he kind of does.
He's like, a professor or practitioner of holistic medicine?
Yes. Yeah, he was surprised, this chick's teacher, by the way.
Yeah, like with her husband, and Brandon's like, oh, man. And like, Richard is into it, all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
They give him a gift. Everyone that comes over gets a copy of this. And I would love this line. Brandon just going, oh, the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Great. Great. Great.
Because, I mean, it's a wacky ending to a sexy scenario kind of a thing. It's like, of a thing.
I take it back. It's not a Dylan episode. It's a Richard episode. he's a real winner in all this.
And now what happens is Brandon has to call Brenda at the helpline to talk about his masturbation.
Oh, totally.
Yes.
Is it weird if I think of Nina and Richard together?
No.
Brand, I need help.
No, just keep on going. Keep on going, Brand.
I just like the way his oily hair goes down his back.
Okay, faster, faster.
Now, hands off.
So, meanwhile, we see Grudge Week one more time because I think at this point, Brenda figures out who it is, even though it doesn't make sense how she would. Like
she keeps saying throughout the whole episode that she recognizes the voice.
Well, you need one, and maybe it's a deleted scene. We need this scene in English class where Bonnie yep. pipes up and is like, "Hey, I think it was William Shakespeare who said yada yada yep. yada." But exactly. that doesn't happen. Brenda confronts Bonnie in the hall, and she's like, "Listen, you know, you don't have to do this. I know it's Grudge Week, and these guys don't really respect you, and like, you can go, you can get help, and this, that, and the other thing." And Bonnie's like, "This is exactly what I didn't want to happen when I called a fucking helpline." Okay. Yep.
Yeah. She is like laying into this girl in the hallway and like clearly doing more damage with all of this. We do get right around here after that dust settles. It's more like, you know, all of a sudden the hallway's full again. I love these scenes where like there's two people talking in the hallway, and I guess they left class right before the bell rings, and then the bell rings at the end of the scene, and all the other kids go into the hallway, including David Silver talking with Steve Sanders right here, I believe, and there is the third great shirt of this episode. David Silver wearing a t-shirt. I don't know what this reference is. It's just a t-shirt that says, "How do you spell death?"
And it's like it's black and death is written in big pink letters. It's
It's
Could cool. that be the old ska hardcore band Death?
Oh man. From the documentary Band Called Death.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's a good call. I kind of seriously doubt it.
I would hope not, because the colors don't match what their whole thing was.
But just what a shirt to wear for the best friend of Scott.
I would love that a conspiracist like trying to like, "Oh, look, you could tell it's like the Abbey Road cover."
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, "Oh, look, oh, David's wearing this in this scene." So we knew. They knew all the time.
So sort of the end of the episode is Brenda, you know, Brenda has told this woman that, she, you know, this girl, you know, you can get help, yada, yada, yada. But we cut, and it's really weird because we shouldn't be able to see her perspective, but we do. It's just Bonnie waiting in the hallway for her friend. It's like, "Oh, hey, it's after Grudge Week. It's after whatever event, football, basketball game has happened." And
this sucks. I wonder if this is a deleted scene, because this was right after when the hallway fills out right here. It's this is where Steve and David are talking to each other, because it's after Steve Sanders has won a tug of war.
Yes.
And dude, I need to see Ian Ziering participating in a fucking tug of war scene. I have to see that.
Yes, agreed.
That's unfortunate. Especially because they won.
You've got the extras. Just do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, show me Grudge Week.
Totally. You could have the one extra I spotted with a fantastically messy mullet. There's the other guy I saw that looks like a human version of Roy from The Simpsons.
Have Scott be on the other team so that he falls down in the mud.
Oh, yes.
Humiliate him more, please.
Yep.
Just cut Cindy's recycling center shit out of this episode and give me 10 seconds of fucking kids falling in the mud in this tug of war.
Yep, exactly.
Wild and crazy.
Omar Gooding walks out of the gymnasium.
Definitely.
All right, wait. Omar Gooding, Donnie Jeffcoat.
You'll never get it.
No, you're right. Never mind.
It's two women.
I'm not even going to try.
Bonnie is like, "Hey, whatever, Lisa, you're going to walk
Julie,
are you going to walk me to my car? Like, you promised." Like, "I can't. Dan and Brad need to know how to get to Molly's house. So, bye." She's like, "It'll take 2 seconds. I'm literally nervous and afraid." It's like, "Bye. Talk to you later. Call me later. Love you. Bye.
Don't get murdered or anything. Okay."
And you do see, and in the tug of war bit, this huge jock and this other jock are like, "Hey, Sanders, great job on that tug of war." And he's like, "Yeah, cool. So what's going on later?" He's like, "Oh, we've got plans." And they gotta walk off. So she's walking back. The X-Files music is in full effect.
I bring you
peace.
I bring you love. Dude, I think like the one thing that was actually missing from this scene, X-Files music was fine, but dude, how about you get a little ch-ch-ch?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Get that going on, you know?
Or absolutely. Get the big fucking score from The Entity, apropos.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, totally.
These two guys come up behind her, and they're like, "Hey, Bonnie, how's it going? We partying tonight or what?" She's like, "I really can't, guys." He's like, "Hey, man, you know, it's this weird thing where he's like, didn't you like it last night?" She's like, "Not really." And he's like, "You're going to like it tonight, whether you like it or not," or whatever. And she's like, I cannot part. Like, then we're going to have to do this standing up. And then all of a sudden,
what the
this
fuck?
It's
insane.
It's, you're in a high school parking lot, dude. Like, you know what I mean? This SWAT team emerges. And I mean, like, this is where the episode veers into fantasy. And it's a nice fantasy wherein we find out. So, like, the SWAT team emerges, arrests these guys. And we pan up and it's Brenda, Brandon, and Andrea. And they're like, wow, Brenda, how did you know this is going to happen? It's like, well, she always called after 10, so it had to happen at, on school grounds after Grudge Week, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, so she called the LAPD and was like, look, hi, I'm a high school girl, and my friend may or may not be getting assaulted tonight. Like, well, we're going to dispatch 10 officers, fucking
this whole sting operation.
And I mean,
dude,
like, I wish the world worked like this, but I just don't see it.
Wait, no, it's very cocaine came in from the coast that night.
Oh, that's what you should have said. Oh yeah, my friend is involved in a coke deal. It's like, all right, we'll get the guys. Yeah, it's like these like five officers swarm on these guys, arrest
guns drawn. I mean, it's fucking crazy. I expected to see John McClane there.
But then Brenda and Andrea are like watching this unfold, and Andrea's like, don't you want to go down there and say anything? She's like, no, I don't.
No,
which is that's the right move, by the way. Don't go talk to this girl.
Course.
No, we don't have to go. We don't have to go down there. They have Kavanaugh in handcuffs.
Kavanaugh, you know, and Scoob or whoever the fuck.
Oh yeah, Cooter or whatever is. The main guy who says we're gonna have to do this standing up, this guy George, the actor is the son of Ryan O'Neill.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
hey dad, yep. I'm playing a rapist this week.
Good job, son, you're gonna make it one of these days.
I'm conflating things, but wasn't he like, didn't one of the sons of Ryan O'Neill have like crazy problems with drugs and the police? Maybe I'm
good question. Possibly.
Maybe I'm thinking of Michael Douglas, but
I mean, I think Ryan O'Neill actually himself also did, and his daughter Tatum O'Neill had some problems. But yeah, a son could have also been troubled. Yeah. I don't know.
He's still alive, so that's helpful. So you know, that's kind of it. I do love the line of like, you want to go down there and what gloat? Like, I don't know, like everyone's going to the police station at this point, including Brenda, if this is what's going on. Like,
unless she like already like made the statement in advance of the raid or something.
I mean, it's, again, a nice world to live in for sure, but not the one we're in. Certainly not 1990.
No, but then it's fascinating because it flips back immediately to like the regular tone of the show, because it's like, do you want to go down there and talk to this victim? No, that's all right. I need to be alone right now. Cut to Donna's gonna complain about not getting a nose job. And you're like, all right, things are back to normal.
It's ironic because she never complains about getting nose jobs when I pay for them.
You know what? All right, Mr. Spelling, we've got six lines of Donna. Is that enough for the episode? Can the episode go to air?
I guess so. Yes, but other characters should be saying the name Donna at least anywhere from 12 to 17 times.
And by the way, just in from the internet ticker, I looked up the O'Neill family, and the actor that plays this George character is Patrick O'Neill, but his brother, Redmond O'Neill, was the one that was charged with attempted murder.
Oh!
Wrong O'Neill I had.
You name your son Red.
Yeah.
You're kind of asking for it a little bit.
Was this dude sentenced to prison or what?
Two counts of assault with a deadly weapon. This is from the Hollywood Reporter. I don't see. I mean, I'm sure this might be an old article. I mean, he's probably gone to court by now.
Interesting.
But anyway,
there is a great after the nose job line. There's another great thing because we have to wrap up. Brandon telling Steve Sanders that like nothing went down with Nina. And Brandon goes, Steve Sanders is like, I fucking knew it, Walsh. You blew it, man. You blew it. And Brandon goes, nothing was blown. And then there's a pause and there is a Steve Sanders smirk right here.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, we are making blowjob jokes on Fox television. Absolutely.
No, she just massaged the testicles of my thighs.
So Brandon goes up to this girl. You know, he sees Lucy staring at him again and he goes up to her and he's like, hey. you know what? Your name, you're Lucy, right? She's like, yes, I am. And he's like, you got a nice smile. And he walks away, which also, by the way, always tell women they have nice smiles.
You know what?
Unsolicited.
You'd be prettier if you smiled more. Bye.
You've got a gorgeous smile. But if you look at me one more fucking time, it's five across the eyes, Lucy, okay? I wanted us to know each other before it happens, but you know what's up now.
Hey, take your headphones out. Take your fucking headphones out. I'm talking to you. But then Scott goes up to Lucy in her post. She's got this glow, and he's like, hi, Lucy. She's like, hi, Scott. And he's like,
I didn't last 5 seconds.
And look, Scott gets the last line of the episode. Like, huh, pretty cool, or whatever he says.
Yeah, I don't know what the sign-off is, but it's a Scott sign-off. Did not see that coming.
and that's like the end of this episode. We did a very special. It is weird to like pair this very special with this like wacky subplot to kind of keep the tone sort of neutral, I guess.
To a degree, it's successful in that. Like, I think that's clearly what.
Yeah.
Is going on here. It's like, what ridiculous thing? And oh, Brandon, you know, thinks he's gonna get jerked off by this woman at her, you know, holistic healing event or whatever. Like, yeah, that's about the farthest, like, between that and like, you got Steve Sanders talking about tug of war. I mean, you know, the tone winds up just being like, you're right, like, it's just a five, like, yeah. Completely flat, you know.
And I'm sure we'll never talk about this. I'm positive we'll never talk about this teen line again. What does Andre?
What is it? The rap line?
Yeah,
the
teen rap line. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you got to rap your emotional problems you're going through.
I'm almost positive. Speaking of, Saved by the Bell had an episode with a teen line as well.
I think you're right. Yeah. Speaking of, Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
This is clearly percolating around the culture at some point around this time. So as we do every end of every episode, I'll go around the horn. Are you excited to continue? By the way. Next episode, and I'm fucking thrilled to tell all you guys, it is the beginning of Brenda and Dylan's courtship. It's fucking,
fucking, I saw that.
Finally.
It's, really?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Which I love it.
Are you excited to continue? Any parting shots on this particular episode or anything you're thinking of? Christopher Cabot.
Knowing that the next one is Dylan heavy really helps this one go down, because I think they bit off a little too much here with the whole it shouldn't have. I don't think it should have been rape. I think it should have been like an actual runaway. Mm-hmm. Like, and just talk about that, and because it gets real fucking close towards the end, and it's real creepy, and it fucks up the tone of the show, which
Absolutely.
Is also about a fucking massage coming. But like, yeah, as long as we're getting some Dylan and we're gonna get back to just like normal drama in high school stuff next week, let's go, let's do it.
Eric?
Yeah, I agree with everything Chris just said, so I'm not going to repeat everything. But yes, we are continuing. What choice do I have?
That's a good thing to think about this Memorial Day, that's for sure. Andrew Jupin.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because a little insight into the WHM recording sked here. We were recording this on the Friday right before Memorial Day weekend. So like this has become a really nice Friday ritual for me, is like I watch this in the morning, we do the show, and then like then I just kind of have my Friday, which is pretty great. But boy, the peppering in of Dylan here, I am just like sashaying into the weekend, man. I'm ready to go. And I will say for next week, like, yes, Steve, what you said is true, of course, but a line from this plot summary that will tease things even further. All that's going on between Dylan and Brenda. However, meanwhile, it says, Steve Sanders meets a woman who will be speaking at an AIDS seminar at school, which leads...
Shut up.
Shut your pretty little lips, Chris Cavan, because I'm not done yet. AIDS seminar at school, which leads everyone into discussing condoms.
Finally.
Yes.
Finally.
It's a Memorial Day miracle.
Thankfully, we have 7 full days to gear up for that. So thank you guys for. And yeah, I'm actually really excited. I do think like once the Brenda and Dylan storyline really starts is when 90210 kind of starts in earnest and they kind of figure out what the hell they're doing here, which is just a teen soap opera, which is why I'm here. And yeah,
exactly.
I do agree with Chris. Like, even like some of the descriptions this woman is giving, like on the teen line, it just, it goes too far for what the episode's. And again, like, teen rape is a real thing and yada, yada, yada. And it's really important to talk about it and how to say no, and it's okay. But there's better ways to do it in this cheesy episode. So,
yeah.
So anyway, with that, that is the end of our broadcast. Or it's the beginning of our broadcast week, I should say. We got a ton of great stuff coming up. We've got an episode tomorrow on the main feed. We're continuing going pirate crazy. We're going to Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides with special guest Jordaine Searles of Bitch Media and the Bad Romance Pod. She was awesome on this episode. Yeah. We already recorded it. We had a blast. We've got on what's coming up on this week on the Patreon feed, ladies and gentlemen.
This Wednesday on the Patreon, we are getting an animation damnation on That's Right, the Jetsons featuring a giant woman.
And this, at some point, I think later this week or probably over the weekend, we're going to be releasing Don's Plum because May is almost over somehow. That was a side of our sleeves that we recorded last week. It's kind of insane. That movie, steer clear of it, but listen to our conversation.
There you go.
It's easy to steer clear of it, too. So that's Melrose 210 for this week. Thank you for sticking around. Thanks for checking out our Patreon, patreon.com/wehatemovies. And thanks for just being a fan and happy also, Memorial. Oh, please.
Yeah, tell your friends, too. You know, this is a perfect time because everyone's looking for content during quarantine and especially, you know, essential workers or if you're just working from home and that can be a slog. You know, tell your friends about the show.
Ooh, and I will also ask to rate and review the pod and also rate when if you're rate and reviewing now to see what's going on. Let us know what you think about Melrose 210. We'll see how we're going to continue this, whether we're going to continue this, assuming we ever have that choice.
Right.
So, good caveat.
That's Melrose 210 for Monday. See you this week. Oh, and also Thursday, we're going to Melrose Place. I have been Steven Sadak.
Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy and remain indoors.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.